The opinions expressed here on the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast are solely those of the presenters, not the opinions of Cedarbrook Community Church or Mountain View Community Church.
Hi, this is John Giss, the frontman for the band Electric City, and you are listening to the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast with Steve Anderson and Matthew McCabe.
And we are back, Youth Ministry Sherpas, episode 52.
Hey, everybody, this is Steve Anderson.
And I'm Matthew McCabe.
We are here to help youth workers to keep going.
Hey, man, how's it going this fine morning?
It's going okay.
It's going all right. It's beautiful. How could it just be going okay?
It is a beautiful morning.
It is gorgeous.
You're right.
I took the windows out of the front of my Jeep. I'm considering taking the whole top down today.
Really?
Be the first one of the spring slash summer.
Nice.
Which makes just makes my blood flow. I'm ready for
it. Is good.
And some top down days.
Next Monday, we're going golfing, right?
Next Monday, I think we are going golfing.
Oh,
next
there
Monday.
You go.
Yes, yes.
So that'll be the true introduction of summer.
Of summer, yes. Yeah. So it's good.
Yeah. So how was your Sunday?
My Sunday was actually really good. I had a rare Sunday where after morning services, I didn't have any responsibilities.
Nice.
And it was nice yesterday. Went home, had lunch, just randomly said to my wife, let's go see the cherry blossoms.
Cool.
Not thinking she would say yes. And she's like, that sounds great. Next thing you know, we're in the car, we're reserving a parking spot. We spent 4 hours downtown last night on the waterfront and walking around the tidal basin. It couldn't have been better. It was
That's just awesome.
A great last-minute decision.
That's awesome.
What about you? How was your day yesterday?
Oh, I was sitting in my office all afternoon.
Oh, you were?
I was, yeah.
Why were you sitting in your office?
On a beautiful Sunday afternoon.
On a beautiful Sunday afternoon. Yeah. What are you doing in your office
all
afternoon?
Well, you know, our youth ministry meets Sunday nights.
And, it does.
This is one of those weeks where I'm in here Sunday afternoon basically writing my message for Sunday night.
Oh, Steven.
Which is not good, not a healthy pattern whatsoever. But, you know, I came in after getting some lunch. I took a little nap. I nap in my office.
You did?
I did.
Wow, I'm in your office.
I
right
know.
Now. Where do you nap
I know.
In here?
It's a running joke among the staff here, but I will lock my door and I literally crawl under my desk with a pillow. And I nap.
There's a whole Seinfeld episode around that. Have you ever seen that where George builds like a shelf and an alarm clock under his desk?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And okay. I know, like, we have sofas down in the youth room, but people come in and out of there.
Yeah.
So this is more private. 20 minutes is all I need.
Okay.
But then I sat here and I wrote my message for last night and I just struggled, just had no energy and I was stressed out. And, you know, in the end, it came off fine. The message was pretty good and the night was good. We had really good family groups last night, but it's just not a good way to go about my life,
no,
for sure.
No, it's certainly not the ideal. Unfortunately, don't you believe that youth ministry gets a reputation for sort of that last-minute prep, last-minute wing-it
kind
of
thing? Hey, let's throw it together. Come on, kids.
Yeah. I think sometimes that's overstated.
Agreed.
I don't think it's that way. But don't you feel like temperamentally people who go into youth ministry tend to lean on the procrastination side of things?
Yes. Guilty as charged.
I think that's legit, right?
Which is why today we're going to talk about the subject of procrastination. And actually, this was an episode we were going to do a long time ago, except we just never got around to
that's
it.
That's hilarious, Steve. Wow, I see what you did there.
Yeah. You know, I feel like I am personally afflicted with this disease called procrastination.
Yes, earlier before we started recording, you looked up to the sky as if to blame God for this affliction, like it was the thorn in your side, as like what Paul carried around.
I can still remember, even in high school, you know, getting assignments and just putting them off till the last minute and then, you know, staying up till ridiculous hours finishing them. And, you know, I'd always pull it off. I think that's the problem. I'd always pull it off. And
again,
terrible habit.
Temperamentally, mm-hmm. I believe a lot of people in youth ministry are very good mm-hmm. on the fly, very good in front of people. And so, yeah, procrastination sort of is easy to seep in because, by and large, we can pull it off.
Yeah, it kind of just wormed its way into my character,
which is
not healthy.
I think I was a natural procrastinator. Well, I certainly remember high school and I certainly remember the early years of my ministry where procrastination was probably my flag. But I have trained myself to be less so.
Now that you're a weasened veteran of youth ministry, you've overcome that obstacle in your life.
For the most part. I mean, it still rears its ugly head from time to time. But by and large, I've sort of programmed myself out of that because there's some cost to procrastination. There's a lot of causes to procrastination that lead to sometimes some pretty significant costs. So that's what we thought we'd kick around today on the episode of the Youth Ministry Sherpas. And so what are some of the causes for you, Steve, of procrastination?
Other than genetics?
Other than the fact that you're just temperamentally a procrastinator. There are other external causes that lead us to procrastinate.
Yeah. I do think that there is almost a genetic disposition towards it. That's my excuse. I can blame it on my biology.
So what are some causes other than biological for you, Steve, that bring procrastination on in your life?
I really like to work on the things I like to work on. So I'm drawn to first go to the stuff that brings me joy, that comes easily or whatever, and work on those things. So, you know, I'll choose the task that I feel like, hey, this sounds fun. I think I'll work on this for a couple hours. Where there's the one that's kind of difficult, or I know it's going to take a certain amount of inertia to kind of get into it. Maybe it's message prep or some kind of long-range planning thing that I just don't even want to start it because I know how much work it is to get into it.
Yep.
And so I go to the easy task first, you know, the quick administrative task or the flyer you're making or, you know, whatever it is. And put off the harder things. Do you do that?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm one of those obsessive people about red numbers and red dots, like on my phone. And so I have these to-do lists.
Yeah.
And it shows me, oh, you have 17 things that you need to accomplish today. And so I will often move towards what are some things I can work on that I can check the most of those things off, even though the thing that probably needs the most attention is only going to check one of the 17 things off. But it's the one that actually needs to get checked off today. The rest of them, they could float to tomorrow or the day after. And I tend, like you, to gravitate towards what are some easy things I can knock off. Feel like I got some wins, some notches in my belt for the day.
Right.
As opposed to the thing that's going to probably consume half or more of my day.
So those 17 things aren't equal.
They're not
either
equal.
Either in value or in the time needed to complete them. So, you know, mentally you're like playing a game on yourself. Like, I'm going to tick off 10 of these things, but the truth is one of them requires 90% of your time.
Correct. Correct.
And that's the one you put off.
Yep.
Like, that's what I do.
Yeah, it's that whole idea of let's do what we want to do, not what needs to happen.
Yeah.
So that's certainly one cause.
Okay.
I know a cause for me is communication. Okay. I'm addicted to communication. It goes back to that red numbers. If there are unread emails in my box or unread text messages on my phone, it feels to me, it probably doesn't feel like it to anybody else, but it feels like to me, they have to be dealt with right now. And so I might be just getting into a project or, again, whether it's message prep or any other thing, I'm getting into a project, but then I hear that familiar, you know, da-da-ling, whether it's my phone or my computer saying there's emails in there. And without even thinking, I'll just stop what I'm doing. And then go deal with that. And, of course, some of those things are black holes. I mean, maybe not so much email. You could probably go and deal with the two or three emails that came in the last half hour.
Not.
But maybe not. But certainly when it comes to text messages, and then the king of all is social media.
Yeah.
You know, you get a couple of red numbers on Instagram or Facebook, and you think, let me just go see what's going on there.
I must comment about the latest development in Pittsburgh sports.
And the next thing you know, I'm 45 minutes scrolling through.
Let me tell you what I really think of Antonio Brown.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing that I'm supposed to be working on just sits there and collects dust I've gotten to the point where I've got to turn a lot of that stuff off if I want any chance of being productive because it definitely causes me to push the things that should get done to later, which then causes all kinds of problems.
It's a great, great time waster, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
If I could see a timesheet of my day and saw what I spent my time doing, I think I would be really ashamed.
You probably would be. I know I would be.
Yeah.
I know that. Some days. Some days I think I'm pretty efficient and I do pretty well and I make wise use of the time and I get after it. But yeah, I think there are some days where if I, you know, get to my desk at 8:30 or 8:45 in the morning and then I pretty much just maybe no meetings, I just kind of chip away all day and I'm all right, 4:30, 5 o'clock, I'm on knockout for the day. If I could see what I actually did that day, I'd probably just be sick to my stomach, honestly, because of some of those things.
Another thing that I struggle with is kind of this sense of perfectionism. I'm really wired to be creative. And so I'm always looking for like the perfect creative solution or the illustration, or I am drawn to that task first. And so I'll often get stuck on how it's going to look or, you know, the great story, rather than just kind of grind through the details of what I need to do. And the procrastination comes because I won't start a task until I feel like I've kind of got the perfect idea for it. And you can't function today. There's too many responsibilities to get stuck in that pattern. You've got to just kind of grind through some of the soil and let the creativity flow at the other end and just move towards production.
There's not enough perfect ideas out there.
True.
Too many things would, in my mind, too many things would never get started if I waited for the perfect idea or the perfect vision of what I want it to look like when it's done before I even started on it. Sometimes that creative idea comes in the process.
And
if we don't start it, well, then it just doesn't happen.
I've been listening to a podcast by Seth Godin. Do you know who that is? He's a business teacher, blogger.
I've heard the name.
And his whole shtick is that it's better to just do the work and put it out there. And if you do that enough, you'll eventually, some of the things you do and create will be great, but not all of it. But you got to get it out there. You can't be stuck on making it perfect before you deliver it. So, you know, whether it's message prep or the flyer or the details of the event, like just get the stuff done.
Get it done. Get it out there.
Get it out there. But I get stuck in the perfectionism.
Not getting it out there until it looks just right.
Yep. That's the genetics of it.
The genetics. We go back to genetics again. I know for me, and I hate to even admit it out loud on a podcast that other people are going to listen to, that sometimes a reason for my procrastination, a cause for my procrastination, is laziness. Just lack of inertia and motivation and energy and fill in the blank. I don't want to do this today because I don't feel like doing this today. And so even though it really should get done today.
I don't want to.
I know, right? Doesn't it sound like I'm a little child?
Yeah.
I think I am a little child in a sense there. But I'll push it to the next day or even a couple of days out. Or in worst case scenarios, I'll just drop it to the task list next week, even though it really has to get done this week. And I'll just hope for more energy or less laziness. And the reality is that north of 50, those days are few and far between these days. No, I'm just kidding. It's not that bad.
You know, it's actually kind of encouraging to me to hear you say that, because I see you as an example of a pretty disciplined person. I mean, you're the guy that's up at like 6 o'clock in the morning. You've already taken your kids to swim practice, and now you're at the gym working out. I mean, my alarm isn't even set till 7. So,
but some of that is temperamental, right? I'm a morning person. So I've figured that out about myself. I know that I can be productive in the morning.
That's nice.
And so you just make it happen.
You're a morning person, you don't even drink coffee.
I don't.
This is a mystery.
That's not. I drink Diet Coke. Ice cold Diet Coke at 6:30 in the morning. No problem for me.
That sounds gross to me.
Well, I think coffee sounds gross, so deal with it. That's not to say that I couldn't just turn the alarm off and sleep. But
which is a really good option.
Which can be a really good option. But here's the reality. I have trained myself. Again, your body gets into rhythms for sure, which is another thing we'll talk about when we get into this. What's the cure for all this, which is going to be another episode following this one. But your body gets into rhythms. If I don't set an alarm right now and I just say I'm going to sleep until my body wakes me up, the answer to that question is about 7.
Okay.
7:15. I don't think I could sleep past 7:30 if I tried.
Okay.
I mean, unless I stayed up till 5 o'clock in the morning or something.
Right.
Then maybe I could.
Right.
But I go to bed at 11:30 midnight and I don't set an alarm. 7 o'clock, I'm wide awake, just staring, going like, well, I might as well get up and do something. So you could train your body.
And that's what you've done. You weren't always that way?
I was not always. No. No, there were times I could power through till noon or one. Man, for sure. But those days are those days are long gone.
Yeah, one of the challenges I think of youth ministry is I want to be that morning person, but the rhythm of the days and youth nights
doesn't lead to that.
It makes it hard because you get home, you know, you get home later, you're tired, but you're wired.
Yes.
And it's hard to turn it off. And so you're already, you have trouble going to sleep, you have trouble getting to bed on time, then you're tired the next day, it's hard to get up early. Like, that's a pretty vicious cycle to fall into.
And it is.
I know there's other podcasters, After Nine, you know,
yeah, yeah.
Morning After, they kind of deal with those kinds of issues. But yeah, I've struggled with that really forever.
Yes.
Especially when I was doing Sunday night and Wednesday nights, doing middle school and high school, and was always out late, but wanted to get up early so I could be more productive.
Yeah.
It was hard.
It's difficult. Yeah. I'm afflicted with, I'm both a morning person and a night owl.
Okay.
I'm just really terrible from like noon to three.
Right.
So.
Which I was yesterday. That's why it's asleep under my desk.
Asleep under your desk. Absolutely. Another cause for procrastination, and this is a tough one because it's a delicate balance, is people.
Mm.
People. It's very easy for us as youth leaders, as ministers, as people in ministry to lay back on the, well, people are always the priority. Relationships are always more important than programs. And all of those things are true. They really are. We do need to make space for people in our lives and we need to be interruptible. Jesus modeled that. It's all fine and well. But it also can become a crutch, and I know it does for me, where I will schedule time with people even when I shouldn't, even when I know I shouldn't. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have the bandwidth that day or that week to do that because of what else needs to get done. But I can justify, but it's spending time with a person, which is what I'm really supposed to be doing. Even though that there's nothing urgent, that person just wants to connect and get together. We could easily do it the next week, but no, I schedule. Recently, I had someone like, "Hey, let's go to Cafe Rio on Friday," and I was like, "Yeah," I didn't have time with everything else that needed to happen. I was preaching that Sunday. Everything else that needed to happen, I really should not have gone to lunch.
You should always have time for Cafe Rio.
But I wanted Cafe Rio.
Which is why you're sleeping.
I'm relational.
From 12 to 3 in the afternoon,
yes, exactly.
After Cafe Rio, there is no energy.
I wanted Cafe Rio. I wanted to spend time because I'm relational. That spending time with people is my favorite task. And I didn't want to work on my message.
Okay.
It just was at a place where I was
kind
of stuck.
Now the truth comes out.
The truth, I just didn't want to. Yeah. And so I think I could easily justify, hey, I'm going to lunch with this person and hanging out for, and, you know, and of course that's not a in and out 20 minute lunch. That's an hour and a half
sure.
by the time because you got to give people time.
Related to that issue is as your ministry grows, you have more people that you're leading,
sure.
more volunteers, maybe staff. You have to make them priority. And so, you know, you kind of have to schedule the priority level people into
yep.
your life first so that you are more effective multiplying what you're trying to do. So, you know, that's a challenge because you still want to be connected to everybody because that's how we're wired. We want to be loved and still want to be youth pastors, but we have to be leaders.
Correct.
And leadership requires a different level of connection to people than it did before. So.
Yeah. And again, for me, like in that specific instance, I was justifying the procrastination of my message because I was prioritizing a person. But at the end of the day, I was deprioritizing 400 people, 500 people who would sit and listen to me teach on Sunday morning at church, and I didn't give it the time it should have been given. Now, I did. I just had to sacrifice some other things, which sort of gets into the next idea that when we procrastinate, there's always a cost.
There's going to be a cost.
There's
going
to be a cost.
Yes. And that's really a major, major affliction. It's a cost of our own self, and it's a cost to other people as well. So let's talk about that a little bit. What are some of the costs that procrastination puts on us as youth workers?
Well, I think the first cost is ourselves. It's our own stress level. Because I know that the further I push something out, the closer it gets to the deadline when it cannot be pushed any further. Mm-hmm. It has to be done, that my stress level goes up.
Mm-hmm.
And when my stress level goes up, it's just not good for anyone.
Right.
Certainly not good for me. I'm not creative. I'm not as personable. I'm not happy. And so I suffer. First and foremost, I suffer.
Yeah.
When I procrastinate.
Yeah.
But so do the people around me.
Don't you love it when you go into the weekend with everything ready?
Oh, to walk out of the office on a Friday afternoon, maybe even a little early, 3 o'clock. Hey guys, I'm in good shape. I'm heading out a little early. I'm going to catch a couple extra hours of this Friday night and this Saturday, knowing that everything is in place for what's going to happen on either Saturday night or Sunday or whatever your weekend schedule is. That feeling is, it's utopia.
That's the goal.
It's incredible. And it is the antithesis of that feeling when
it is the rarest of things.
You have to go home because if you don't show up for dinner, your family's going to be very frustrated. So you have to leave. But you know, you still have all kinds of things hanging over your head. And as I'm sitting at dinner, I know I gotta. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stay up late tonight. And I'm not going to stay up late tonight watching basketball or mm-hmm. Game of Thrones like I want to. I'm going to stay up tonight working
yes.
on things that I just flat out procrastinated and didn't get to in time. Yeah. So now it's affecting me, which then it's going to affect my family
because
yep. it's going to affect how much time I can spend with them on that night mm-hmm. or how present I am emotionally with them sure. at dinner. Sure. I mean, it's going to, there's a cost. There's a big cost.
Well, there's definitely a cost in the people that we work with. I mean, it affects them. If we are asking them to do something last minute because we waited to the last minute to figure it out what we needed, you know, that puts stress on people around us. There are so many weeks, and I'm ashamed to admit this, we have a pattern here where I want to have my questions for our small group leaders out to them by Thursday. We meet on Sundays. That's the goal. Have the questions to them by Thursday so that they have a few minutes to look over it. Now, you know, for me, I've been in youth ministry long enough. Like, I could get the questions literally walking out of the door of the youth room to go to my group, and I could wing it. But most of the volunteers don't have that comfort level. And so to honor them and help them do the best they can, I've promised to get them these questions by Thursday. And so many weeks it doesn't happen.
Sure. Well, so even this week, did they have the questions on Thursday?
They had the questions during the message.
During the message.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is shameful. So I'm putting that level of stress on them. I'm not valuing their time. I'm not equipping them in the best way that I could. And that's a cost that, you know, if that's your pattern, when I do that too much, it's going to make people feel like they're less valued. And it might even keep them from continuing to volunteer because they don't feel like they're an important part of what's happening.
Yeah, it could cost you a volunteer.
It could cost me a volunteer.
And we can easily say, like, well, no, we're good under pressure. We can pull it off at the last minute.
Yeah.
But not all of the people that we work with can function
Absolutely.
In that environment. So we're putting them in a really bad situation.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, we could throw the message together at the last minute, and you and I could lead a small group, not even seeing the questions before the small group, and have it be pretty darn good small group. But yeah, not everybody can do that. So we're putting them in a high stress position, which is just not good.
Yeah. And, you know, as I've added staff to the team here over the years, I've come to realize that the way I function isn't the way that the people who work with me function. And so when I'm last second, you know, let's say we have a retreat this weekend and it's Wednesday and I'm like, hey, let's try this new thing that I have this great idea for, you know, I just came up with this idea. Oh, and we can order the stuff from Amazon. It'll actually get here Friday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The bus leaves at 4.
We're good.
We're great. Yeah, this is awesome. You know, my team is thinking, you're insane.
What are you doing to us?
What are you doing to us? We had a whole year to plan this event. Why are we planning it at the 11th hour, you know? And they're right. Why would I do that to them? It's disrespectful, and it obviously it costs them in terms of their own stress.
Yeah, yeah. I'm teaching a lot more on Sunday mornings now in big church,
right.
And there are a couple of deadlines in our church that have moved up. We've got someone who does all of our graphics and our slides for mm-hmm. Sunday morning, and that person schedules their time mm-hmm. to be at the church to script the media for Sunday morning on Friday at noon.
Okay,
so they're there Friday from noon mm-hmm. till about 1 or 1:30. So if I don't know what slides I want, what scriptures I'm going to use in the message by Thursday at noon so that he can work on them from home, be ready to come in and put them all in the computer, he stresses out.
Yeah.
And with good reason, he should. Mm-hmm. We have translation on Sunday mornings into Spanish. Our translators like to see the notes on Friday afternoon, so they've got the weekend to really think about where the message is going and all the different, so they can kind of get their translation flow going. And when I don't have a message done until Saturday, I'm putting them in a really tough spot.
Yeah. Yeah.
So one of the costs is the people around us. I think another cost is excellence. Mm-hmm. I think when we procrastinate, often we trade great for good. Again, yeah. we're capable. We're all capable, fine, youth working people who know how to procrastinate well and know how to pull it together at the last minute well, and so it goes well. But as well as it could mm-hmm. have gone, mm-hmm. I know for me, thinking back over the years of like some of our retreats, which are huge moments in youth ministry. I know you just mentioned this having this idea on Wednesday. I know there have been so many times where I've finally got around to getting the team of my volunteers together to say, let's brainstorm and think about the retreat this year.
Yeah.
Well, by the time I get that group together, we're 3 weeks out from the retreat. And we come up with two or three really great ideas. That would be phenomenal that after we look at it, we go, oh, but we don't have enough time to pull it off.
Right.
We needed to think of this idea 3 weeks ago or a month and a half ago.
Yeah.
And then it costs us because nobody knows it. Because they didn't know we were going to try that thing at the retreat. So we just don't do it. But I know it.
Right.
I know, oh man, that really would have been great. But because I procrastinated putting this meeting together, it just didn't happen.
And we're not talking about the times when, for whatever reason, the week got crazy or you had an emergency. And so you just kind of had to wing it at the last second. Like that always is going to happen.
Those happen.
And you got to work through those. Not every week has to be the greatest thing you've ever done. And obsessively plan and have everything perfect, like I was talking before. Don't get hung up on that. But at the same time, there's a base level of excellence that comes with being prepared, with working in advance, with getting those who are working with you on the same page, that just takes care of that excellence factor because you've given it the time that it needed to be addressed.
Absolutely. I mean, Steve, let me ask you, just in full honesty here on our podcast, the message you put together on Sunday at 4:00, I mean, I'm sure it was good. Honestly, I believe it was good because you're a very gifted teacher and you are.
You're a gifted BSer, but thank you.
No, you're very gifted. I know you could do it. But do you think it could have been better had you given it more time?
Of course.
See, and of course. And that's what we're talking about with the excellence.
Yeah.
We're trading great for good. And
yeah, and this particular message, it's not like this week I had 8 emergencies and 74 hospital visits. And, you know, there really wasn't a whole lot going on this week. I was kind of tired from previous busyness. And so I was pretty lazy. I procrastinated. And then Sunday afternoon, I took a nap in my office floor, got up and wrote the message for Sunday night. That's a terrible confession.
Yeah, but it's real.
It's real.
It's real.
That definitely cost us in terms of excellence.
Yeah.
And, you know, these are the kinds of things, Matthew, that I think give youth workers a bad name. If that was my pattern for years and years and years, it would have costs that would eventually affect the health of the youth ministry and my reputation.
Sure, of course.
And, you know, I think youth ministry just has a reputation of being the land where the fun-loving people show up for work and they just throw it all together at the last second and everybody has a good time and you throw some marshmallows at each other and eat some Jell-O and maybe give a little message and something good's going to happen. And we're better than that.
Yes, we are.
We're better than that. And I think everyone listening knows we're better than that. It's just putting the pieces in place in our day-to-day lives and training and ministry and efficiency that allow us to be better at this thing.
Yeah. So there are many causes to procrastination. And there are certainly some high costs mm-hmm. to it. But the good news is there are some cures.
There are.
There are some ways. Again, I was a natural procrastinator who have trained myself to be less procrastination mm-hmm. driven. Mm-hmm. Not going to say I'm not a procrastinator. I'm going to say I'm less because of some of the cures that are out there and available for us. And so in a very cliffhanging episode kind of way, we're going to address that next week.
We're going to talk about how we can improve our day-to-day time management as well as our big picture of looking at our youth ministry calendar and doing a better job.
Talk about all the different tools that are out there.
Unless we decide that we just don't feel like it.
And then we'll just procrastinate. Well, maybe we'll do this episode like 68 or something like that.
I think we're actually going to do it right after this one.
Yeah, I think we are. We should. Because if we don't, then who knows what will happen.
Well, hopefully there are things in here that you can identify with. As we kind of confessed our weaknesses and some of the issues we faced in terms of procrastination, I definitely have not figured this out. You're farther down the path than I have, and I admire you for that. But hopefully you'll tune in next time, and you can maybe grow a little bit from what we have to say. So a couple things we want to shout out.
Yeah, some exciting things coming up.
We want to talk about the Youth Leaders Summit at Harvey Cedars Bible Conference in New Jersey. It's May 22nd to 24th. It's just a two-night getaway. It's super inexpensive. Josh Griffin is going to be there, and it's an opportunity to get away, hang out with some great youth leaders, do some planning with your team, and we encourage everybody who's listening, especially if you're on the East Coast, to check it out.
Check it out. You can go to hcbcyouthleadersummit.com to get all the information. I know Sherpa Steve and Sherpa Matthew are going to be there, and so we look forward to meeting and hanging out with some of you.
We also want to let you know that we are quickly approaching our second season of Sherpa Short.
So May 1st, we are going to launch again another trip through the alphabet in what we call Sherpa Shorts, short little 10-minute episodes where one of us comes up with a word based on the letter of that day. The other person doesn't know what's coming.
Right.
And then we spend 7 to 8 minutes, 10 minutes maybe, riffing on that and how it relates to student ministry. We had a blast with this last year. I think you'll look forward to it this year.
Yeah, if you don't know what we're talking about, go back and listen to the Sherpa Shorts from last year. Check them out. There's 26 of them. They're a lot of fun. So with that said, thanks for listening today to the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast. If you want to go out to iTunes and give us a review, if it's 5 stars, we allow that.
That would be very helpful, actually.
Awesome.
And we'd love to connect with you on Instagram or Facebook. So look us up at Youth Ministry Sherpas.
All right. We'll be back next week with episode 53, The Problem of Procrastination. Hopefully we'll offer some solutions in that episode. So tune in then.
Until then, Sherpas out.